is the Flex Network. This is the Flex Network. Flex on them. Flex on everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Flex Network. I'm your host, Flex Shane. You can follow me on Twitter at TheFlexNetwork1. I'm joined by the original Antonio Gibson truther. I know him as Brandon Adam. You guys know him as at BrandonDAdam19 on Twitter. Brandon, what is up, brother?
Oh, man, I'm so fired up after last night's trade. I'm so excited. I got my boy Antonio Gibson. I got my guy Ryan Tannehill, and I'm locked and loaded, ready for the season, the banana hammock to destroy your dreams.
Look, I'll believe it when I see it, but hey, man, it was a lot of fun. So we finally inaugurated Brandon in the Banana Hammock Boys listener roster watch listener league. We had an auction draft on Thursday night. It was an absolute blast. I love auctions. I'll admit, by the end, it does get a little bit slow. You know, it ends up being a 3-hour draft. But man, the first hour and a half, 2 hours is nothing but absolute fire. And look, for those who have never done an auction draft, you guys know that I'm a huge auction fan. It doesn't have to be every league. I get it. If you guys play in multiple leagues, though, try to make one of them an auction. It's going to make you a better fantasy player. It's going to make you better at building your own draft boards. Because, look, every league setting is different. Every league is different. Some leagues are deeper than others, right? So you can go and you can get your generic dollar per player auction values, or you can build your own auction board. And that's what's going to take you to the next level. And guess what? It's actually a lot of fun to do that. So I recommend it. I love auction leagues. And Brandon, so one, what did you think about your team? And two, let's talk about that trade that went down a couple days ago. So first of all, what do you think about your team?
I think my team is very well balanced. I thought I got some great value in wide receiver position that I was able to manipulate and be able to make this trade that I just did in confidence because of that wide receiver depth. The trade was I sent Russell Wilson, T. Higgins, and Gaskin. I receive Tannehill, Antonio Gibson, and Jarvis Landry. And I am a Baker Mayfield owner.
Just 1 sec, Brandon. We should preface it by saying it is a super flex league.
Yep.
So swapping those quarterbacks to top, it was enough to move the needle. I will say, just based on the market values, right? Because we have actual prices paid. The value of the players you got were $69. The value of the players you gave away was $64. So technically, according to the market, you won that trade, but it was very close. I mean, it wasn't exactly lopsided.
Honestly, once the draft's over, I could care less how much you paid for somebody. That's on you.
That's true.
That's what I was feeling like. I mean, I'm not a huge auction experience guy, but as soon as that draft's over, none of that matters. To me,
well, That's not just the auction draft. That's any draft. Right. Yeah, shit changes fast.
Exactly.
Don't be afraid if you paid, say, a third round draft value for somebody and maybe that player is starting to lose value and you want to get him off your squad and you're not going to quite get what you paid for him back. Look, there's this fallacy where it's like a sunk cost, right? Where you need to get that same value back. Well, don't be afraid of that. So I get it. But I think that's important that people understand. It's not. Everything's changed. The second the draft is over, everything changes. We get new news. We get new information. We're finally starting to get some injury updates heading into week one here. And don't be afraid to go and make big moves, man. The whole point of this is to start your season strong.
I have zero fear. And honestly, like it obviously caused Sully from Houston to get upset and start talking, whatever. It's all good. That's totally fine. I agree with I get it. Usually I don't make monstrous moves before the season, but this was something that before pre-draft, I was targeting Tannehill as my one of my QBs, and I am totally 100% comfortable having Tannehill as my QB1. And the reason is since he's arrived in Titans land, he has become one of the most consistent quarterbacks in the league since 2019. And if you look at from 2019, per Sam Wallace, this is Sam Wallace's tweet this morning. I actually just saw it this morning. I just wanted to talk about it. He was the QB since week 7 of 2019. He was a QB1 in total fantasy points of expectation over expectation. He was the QB2 in passing fantasy points over expectation. He was a QB 3 in rush fantasy points over expectation, and he QB 4 in total fantasy points total. And that is what people don't understand, is that he's kind of getting pigeonholed because of the whole Derrick Henry's on his squad, and people just think they're a run team. That's not true at all. He actually is one of the most efficient throwers in the league, and he also has wheels, more wheels than Russell Wilson at this point, especially around the goal line.
Let's talk about that. Okay. So for those that don't know, last year, Ryan, if you had to guess how many rushing touchdowns, and maybe you know this because you're obviously a big Ryan Tannehill fan. How many rushing touchdowns did Tannehill score last year?
Eight, I believe, right?
Seven. He scored seven rushing touchdowns, and he had 266 rush yards. Mm-hmm. That's not half bad, man. That's not half bad, especially in leagues where a lot of the leagues are 4 points per passing touchdown and obviously six for rushing. So that's a huge difference. Mm-hmm. Here's a number that I just don't know if it's sustainable. Okay. So I'm going to read off some other true completion percentages of some players that we believe to be very good at passing the football. Okay. Mm-hmm. So last year, Patrick Mahomes, 77.4% true completion percentage. Josh Allen, not somebody we thought was the great passer, but obviously the story last season was he increased his pass percentage, 75%. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers, the GOAT, 83%. Deshaun Watson, 86%. Do you want to know what Ryan Tannehill's true pass completion percentage was last year?
Tell me that efficiency. Tell me.
94.9% efficient.
That's here's because problem, Brandon. Of Henry.
Here's the problem. Yes, you're right. It's definitely because of Henry. It's because of a beast like A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that he's got Julio in the field, which, look.
That's going to help.
When he's on the field, it's going to help. When he's not, and even if he's a little bit injured, he could be that, you know, that true decoy. So he's got really two alpha decoys. He's got Derrick Henry and Julio Jones, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it. This, for anybody who understands math, this screams regression. When you've got your top echelon year after year quarterbacks that are scoring in the mid 70%, 75%, 94% is going to come back to the mean. That's not to say he's going to be a little bit player,
but I think his volume is going to overtake that. I think he's going to throw more this year. Like I've been telling you on the last pod that we had when we talked to Little Titans, I really believe that they're going to start not going away from Henry, but taking some of that load away from Henry so they can keep him around longer for the next few years. So they can extend his career as long as possible. Just like Seattle did with Lynch, just like a lot of teams do with elite backs. And the move for Julio screams to me that that's what they're doing. They want to put more of this offense on Tannehill because they know you won't be able to win playoff games, win Super Bowls with just, you know, an average quarterback. You know, he wasn't average, but you're not going to win without an elite quarterback. And to get an elite quarterback, if you go out and get Julio Jones, who everybody that is in the NFL believes he's still somehow a top, you know, five wide receiver in talent. And this guy.
Right, so here's my question, Brendan. Here's my question.
I think that's going to be a big
deal. Because I'm a numbers guy. We haven't been breaking it out enough, but let's just look at the numbers last year, okay?
Sure.
So you think that his passing opportunities are going to open in a game, which is room to potentially improve, okay?
Sure.
So last year, he had, on average, 30 pass attempts per game. I would say in today's NFL, it's probably a little bit low, right?
Yep,
it is. Lamar Jackson, by comparison, which is one of the lowest when you look at the top quarterbacks, was 25 per game. Patrick Mahomes, because this is, you know, for comparison, 39, Josh Allen, 35, Kyler was 34, Aaron Rodgers was actually only 32, which is another reason, guys.
Efficient, man.
And maybe, Aaron Rodgers efficient, also efficient at passing the touch, at throwing touchdowns. We think that's also a potential regression candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Tannehill might get a few more passes per game, maybe a few more. But I think that 30 is going to be probably the sweet spot, I think, because they have Derrick Henry. I agree with you that maybe they'll scale back a little bit of his touches in the game, but I don't know. I'm not totally sold on it.
Especially early in the season. I'm telling you, especially early in the season, they're going to save him. They aren't going to run 30. They're not going to, I'm telling you, they're not going to give him 30 plus touches every week. It's just not going to happen. They know, like, you know, like the NFL will humble anybody. And sooner or later, this mutant of Derrick Henry is going to be having to deal with some injuries sooner or later. And I just feel like that is the direction the Titans are going. I really think that was their offseason mission, is to figure out a way to enhance Ryan Tannehill to get him to the next level, because he's been so efficient. And he's done that with one legit wide receiver, with AJ Brown. Mm-hmm. And AJ Brown has been one of the most efficient wide receivers in the league for as long as he's been in it. And yep. I
on
feel
one
like
leg last year,
on more like no legs. He had two knee surgeries last year. I mean, imagine if he would have not played, that whole offense would have been kaput. And that's why this addition for Julio, it was such a needed thing for this offense. And I'm so on fire about that offense. I think it's being underrated and kind of overlooked. And so by before the actual explosion, people, because once that happens, you won't be able to get those players. And
okay, here's my question. That's perfect timing, saying buy when you can. Okay, our boy Clipboard Jesus is coming in hot with comments. Clip, we love you, we appreciate you, thank you for always being loyal to the show and for always engaging with the show. For one, he says he loves the auction draft. We love it too, Clip. It's just the greatest thing in the world.
It's fun.
What he's saying, so what you're saying is buy low on Henry in week three.
Yeah, people.
The first two weeks here. Sorry. Arizona week one, Seattle week two.
Seattle, tough.
They're probably going to have to throw to keep up in those games. Both Arizona and Seattle are going to be challenging this year. We know. Like, you could argue the NFC West is probably the best division in the league right now. Mm-hmm. With Arizona probably
100%. In my opinion, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and the funny thing is, because of Malcolm Butler, he had some personal issues. We don't know what happened, but the Cards are decimated in the secondary. They are going to be atrocious. So the Titans have them week one. Hey, if DFS players, put one of Julio or AJ Brown in those lineups, because there isn't a corner in the stratosphere of those wide receivers, and they're going to pay in a big way. And I think that's going to be a major shootout week one.
Ladies and gentlemen, week one is here. It is here. Sir. We did it. Less than a week away. This Thursday, of course, the Bucks are taking on the Cowboys. Man, do you play DFS, Brendan?
Oh, I'm a degenerate. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, you are a degenerate.
Yeah.
Are you more of like you like to do like the single slates like on a Sunday? Are you one of these guys who likes to ride like the Thursday, the Sunday, the Monday, and just like totally just kill yourself waiting for that Sunday or that Monday slate?
I'm a main slate guy, and that's it. I don't like waiting. I'm not a big fan of that. But I'm just a main slate guy. I play mostly on FanDuel. I'm more successful at FanDuel for some reason. I don't know why, but I am. So I'm big time DFS guy. Yes.
I wouldn't propose myself as being a DFS expert per se, but I like to dabble in the arts.
I'm not an expert at all. Like, I'm just saying I just play, and sometimes I win money. Sometimes I lose some money. Sometimes my plays are unbelievably good. Sometimes I fucking take one in the stomach for sure.
Sounds like fantasy football to me.
Yeah, that's just fantasy football. But when I do have my big weeks, they're pretty good weeks.
Before we start getting to some of our bold calls for the season, I want to talk to you a little bit about your injury, let's call it strategy, typically going into the season. So we say we don't want to draft injured players going into the season because fantasy football is hard enough. We want a healthy team. Mm-hmm. A guy who you do have on your team is Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
the arrow is pointing up. Yep. It sounds like he is taking hits in practice, which is a good sign. And I wouldn't per se call like, there's a difference between being injured and recovering from an injury.
Right.
The latest news is that the Giants are probably going to not give him his full complement of touches in week one, but I could still see him getting 15, 16 touches with probably four or five of those being receptions. So,
and they're going to put him in the red zone when it's time. So
do you have any hesitation with Saquon Barkley going up against Denver this weekend.
I have hesitation in going against Denver, period. That team's ridiculous. Yeah. That defense is ridiculous. But as for his injury, no. Watching him run routes and watching him move around all summer, I can just see the difference from when he first was releasing his videos to now. He's really planting hard and cutting really hard on that knee. And I have zero – I really don't have any issues with drafting Saquon Barkley. I actually bought the dip when people were nervous quite a bit, especially on Underdog. Saquon's my RB2 on a lot of squads in Underdog. RB2. And woo! Yeah. I bought the dip on him and I'm in. So I just feel like the guy is genetic freak and I think he's going to be, you know, I think he's fine, to be honest. I think they're kind of slow playing the whole league about it. And yep. I think that's what they're trying to do.
Have you like dove into this week one slate at all? Like for whether it's for DFS or just in general, like have you started like setting your week one matchups and your lineups for week one? Have you done that yet?
Oh yeah, I've been building lineups for DFS the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago,
are there any players that jump out at you? Are there any players in particular that jump out at you as just absolute screaming values at their price?
Yeah, James Robinson's one. James Robinson playing against Houston, that's chalk city. I don't think there's going to be a winning lineup without him. I think you got to eat the chalk with him. And that, and then another one I think is Kittle. I think Kittle is just going to go absolutely berserk week one.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
Who are the Niners playing week one?
Detroit.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be brutal.
Speaking of Detroit, I'm getting a little bit worried about DeAndre Swift, man.
I've been telling you, my friend, I couldn't believe you didn't draft Jamal Williams as a handcuff, especially when that is your one elite guy. And now I got him, and now you got to overpay for him. So you better come talk to your dad about it, and we can work something out. Old boy, you'll see. Dude, I'm telling you, he has not practiced at all this training camp, so I'm very nervous for you for DeAndre Swift. The guy's a beast talent. The guy's a great talent. I'm not gonna say he's not. He totally is. But with Swift, especially if you build your roster with just one elite guy, back him up. It doesn't matter. Back him up, and especially when Jamal Williams. He's not a bad player. He's really not. No, he's actually not. Pretty dang good.
He's decent. If you like 8-9 fantasy points a week, he's decent.
He can give you 85% of what DeAndre can give you if DeAndre's out. Like he can give you 80%. And that's all you want in a handcuff, right? Like as long as you get by. And that's why I got so much shit in the chat when I drafted in the auction league when I took Devontae Booker because I'm a Saquon owner, and they were just like, "What the hell would you? Why would you do that?" It's just because
here's Saquon's coming off injury. Deep ass league. It's 12 teams. It's super flex. It's two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, and two flexes plus the super flex. It's a deep ass league, and it's six bench spots. So look, by the end, you're basically just going for upside. Here's the thing: are you going to be dropping Ramondre Stevenson? Are you going to be dropping your quote handcuffed Devontae Booker? Are you going to be dropping Jameis Winston? Are you going to be dropping Terrace Marshall? You're going to be dropping somebody in week one, brother. Is it going to be a player that you can play every single week, or are you going to go for upside? Because guess what? No, there's going to be mad waivers because everything that we think, not everything, probably about 80% of what we think is probably pretty close, but there's going to be that 20% madness that is week one of waivers in your fantasy football season. And I wouldn't be surprised if by week two or three, Jamal Williams is sitting there on the waiver wire and I'll just, pick him up for a dollar or two off the waiver wire.
I highly doubt that. But that's why I picked up Ramondre Stevenson because I thought he would be a waiver wire guy that people would be going running to spend their money on. That's why I took him for a dollar. And That was actually one of my favorite picks of my team. I thought that was a sneaky little pick, and I could totally see him filling the LeGarrette Blount role. Like he could be that guy, and I have no problem taking him.
Let me ask you something then, okay? Because this creates a different question. If Damien Harris is not getting to touch the red zone looks, and if Damian Harris is basically getting the ball between the 20s, is that a player we even want on our team?
No. Like, I'm actually
for Damian Harris.
Have you seen Damian Harris? Have you watched Damian, him? He's a good player. He's all right. He's a pretty good player. But I feel like with the Patriots, you just never know. And I have some Damian Harris, and my hedge in this draft was to get Ramondre. And I kind of like hedging once in a while. That's why I took LaVishka in this draft, because I have a lot of Marvin Jones.
Okay.
So if Marvin Jones isn't the number one, it probably is LaVishka. So either or. And I just wanted to kind of get ownership on both sides of the argument. And that's what I do. When you have multiple leagues, that's, you know, once in a while, you're going to have a team that has a little bit contrarian picks compared to what you've been talking about. And that's what I did with, you know, with like LaVishka, Barkley. I actually got caught with Barkley a little bit. I'll admit it right here on live. Shane, I was bidding up Shane for Barkley, and I got caught. And so I ended up having to spend for Barkley. But that's fine. You don't bid up players that you aren't comfortable taking.
Absolutely.
So
that's a dangerous game. That's an absolutely dangerous game.
Yes, that's extremely dangerous. And I was having a bit of fun. I was enjoying it, running him up on you, and you caught me. But that's fine. I'm cool with him because I think he's going to be an RB1. And he has – I mean, how many running backs this year have the potential of RB1 status out of all of them? How many
there's a handful, right?
Right. There's only a few guys that have.
So obviously CMC, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara. I would argue Derrick Henry does not have the RB1 upside just because he doesn't have the passing. We're talking about PPR leagues here. I don't think he's quite there. I mean, he's a top five, obviously. But Ezekiel Elliott, yes. Aaron Jones, yes. Saquon, yes. Jonathan Taylor, yes.
Gibson.
Probably Gibson.
Gibson.
But then Eckler, I don't think does. Najee, I don't think does.
Mixon.
Nick Chubb, no. Mixon, no.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Now,
Mixon has to play the entire season.
I understand.
Just one time to be the RB1. It's not going to happen.
Oh, your hate for Mixon is going to burn you.
Mixon is an okay RB2. I would feel shaky with Joe Mixon as my RB1, man. I would be scared. I wouldn't be comfortable. Joe Mixon does not have RB1 upside. Come on now. Oh, get out of here. They're going to be passing the ball 88 times per freaking game. How the hell is Joe Mixon going to be there? Anyways.
Oh, man. Okay.
There's legitimately five or six probably, right?
I would say. Exactly.
There's Saquon like, there.
That's why I when I did that trade,
woo!
He's coming in hot. Clipboard.
Oh, you are so freaking wrong.
Clip. I love it. I love it. All right. We got a question here. From Terrence. He's listening. Thank you, Terrence. All right. So Terrence says, I have the second pick in my draft. One keeper in my league, and I have Alvin Kamara locked already. All right. Who would you guys go for it to? Honestly, it's hard to say because it depends on who's going to be there, right? You got to tell
who got kept in the other ones.
Yeah, but look, if you're the second pick, if CMC is there, he won't be there at two. But if you dropped him with Flex Matt, he might have been. Dalvin Cook. I'll just read off my personal order in terms of who I'd go with. I would go CMC 1, Dalvin Cook 2, Alvin Kamara 3, Derrick Henry 4. Okay. It's going to be tough.
And then Aaron Jones after that.
Well, so I've got Zeke, then Aaron Jones in terms of my running back rankings. But I don't draft. When I put my draft board together, and I've shown you, Brandon, I like to do tiers, right? So cross-positional tiers. Yep. So I've got Ezekiel Elliott and Aaron Jones in a tier together. But they're together with Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. Would you consider, if Devontae Adams is sitting there at 2, and you've already got Alvin Kamara, would you consider going Aaron or Devontae Adams there too to get that insane wide receiver running back combo?
Or would I thought you were going to say Kelce.
I've got Kelce in that tier, man. I've got Kelce in that tier too.
Kelce, the difference with Kelce and the rest is so big. Mm-hmm. Like it seems like every single time I draft, if you have Kelce, you're one of the top teams in the league. And man, I would contemplate Kelce right there, especially because you got Kamara, like AK, and then there's so many wide receivers you can get those guys in the second and third round.
The thing, we don't know who's going to be kept, right? My guess is the thirst for running back early is so okay. So here we go. So the question should be wide receiver stack. Okay, wide receiver or stack the RB immediately. Henry, Cook, Chubb, CMC, Jones, Kamara, all off the board. All right. So Henry, Cook, Chubb, CMC. So all the top guys are off the board.
Yep. That's Kelce if he's available.
To me, it's Kelce or Davante Adams. I'm still probably leaning Davante Adams there slightly, but it's close. It's close. Just because, you know what? It's close. I would go Kelce or Adams there.
My answer is Kelce.
Start. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So he's got Kelce. I mean, Kelce could go one in this sort of format, right?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Like, if you can, I'm telling you, the difference between those guys are massive. Even the difference between Kelce and Kittle is massive.
Yeah.
So you're getting
it is. I mean, look,
a goat.
I like the idea of if you want to go tight end early, I like the idea of taking Darren Waller in round two more than like the idea of taking Travis Kelce in round one. Mm-hmm. But that's just a personal opinion thing, right, man? If you think that you have more faith in the Kansas City offense, you've got Patrick Mahomes. It's a very filtered offense. We are very Kelce and Waller, oddly enough, are keepers. Okay, so they're both going to be gone. Okay. To me, it's Davante Adams. It's Tyreek Hill. Take
the wide receiver. Yeah, that's pretty much what I would do.
So my order for wide receiver, Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill is in a tier above. And then the next tier for me is Stephon Diggs, Calvin Ridley, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Justin Jefferson. I would lean Stephon Diggs. You are a huge Stephon Diggs fan just because you think he's going to be peppered with volumes again, with targets again. I agree with that.
2.0. He is Antonio Brown reincarnated. I'm telling you.
What do you think about Eckler too?
Eckler.
I think you and I are kind of lower on Eckler.
No.
Yeah. Here's the thing, Terrence. I'm taking guys that I'm taking ahead of Eckler are Saquon, Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, Ezekiel Elliott. Like, these are all players I'm taking ahead of them. Yeah. I'm probably going to take Stephon Diggs and Calvin Ridley ahead of him as well.
There's a lot of hype right now for Eckler. There's a ton of heat coming behind him.
How did this happen?
I don't know. Like, it's just...
And look, we love Eckler.
Yeah, I like him.
This is not an anti-Eckler show. I love Eckler. I had him a lot last year. I think that if you're getting him in the, especially the first half of the first round, even in a keeper league, it's a little bit too much to pay. Mm-hmm. I liked him just in a regular redraft league, right around that 1-2 turn. I would be okay with him going early in the second round. I probably wouldn't take him in the first round. I just wouldn't, because we like players like JT and Saquon Barkley and Antonio Gibson ahead of Austin Eckler. For me, it's actually kind of a coin flip between Eckler and Gibson. I'm leaning Gibson more often than not. But man,
Gibson.
That Chargers, man, that LA Chargers team, we talked about the NFC West.
It's nice.
The AFC West is going to be pretty sick as well, man.
Especially once Deshaun Watson comes to Bronco next year. That'd be pretty awesome.
Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun. It's either of the two. Like, it's either or. I really believe that.
This is a complete absolute pivot from our current conversation.
I know.
But wouldn't it be absolutely filthy if Aaron Rodgers went and played in Pittsburgh? Like, wouldn't that be disgusting?
That'd be awesome.
The timing is perfect. Awesome. The Steelers, they have a lot of cap space. They could afford to go out and pay him a contract, a lofty contract.
Mm-hmm.
They have the team right now. They got the defense. They have the sick wide receivers. Even if they lose Juju, man, they can go out and probably draft another wide receiver around two.
They don't need Juju. I would have let him walk this year, to be honest. But you know, that's just me. But I would have let him walk and put all that money in the line. Like, I don't understand why they didn't do that, but you know, especially when you got two elite wide receivers.
Yeah. So Terrence, you know what I love here is you've got two players. You're at the two spots. You got Zeke and Adams. I probably am leaning Adams. The more I think about it, I kind of like the idea of having that elite wide receiver tied up with that elite running back. And then, man, the best part about that is you can go in any direction. You're not going to feel pressured to go in any direction with your round two pick, which could be wide open. So I would lean Adams. And then maybe, because Aaron Rodgers is probably going right around the round seven and eight, I would try to go and get Aaron Rodgers in round seven. If you can go and get him in that range, that's a pretty sick stack.
But expect some regression with the Packers guys. Like, some. We were just talking about it pre-show. We were talking about how unbelievably efficient Aaron Rodgers was last year. And I just don't see him doing that again, especially with Bakhtiari hurt. He's hurt. They lost their center, Lindsley, to the Chargers as well. Some of that pressure is going to get there this year, and people mm-hmm. don't think that yet. They will, though.
Yeah, I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers is probably going to regress from his touchdown rate from last year. So for people that just are curious, again, it's all about relative to what, okay? So Dak Prescott had a 4.1% pass down percentage. Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen had 6.5. Aaron Rodgers, who we established, had only 32.8 pass attempts per game last year, had a 9.1% touchdown rate last year. He's probably going to regress. Let's just call it is. He's probably going to regress.
And he's still going to be elite. And he's still going to be elite.
Of course. But people who are drafting him as like the QB5, when there's other, I think, viable quarterbacks in that range, I think you're going to be a little disappointed. Like, look, if he finishes as like the QB 7 or 8, the points per game differential is going to be like 1 or 2 points per game. It's not going to really move the needle. And you might want to say, look, Aaron Rodgers, he's got legitimate, 4 or 5 touchdown upside per in a game, right? Like, that's the kind of player that he is. He's probably going to regress a little bit. Juju's a clown.
Juju is.
We had this debate, not really a debate. We had this conversation last week. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a fantastic slot receiver. I think that he is a great fit on a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hell, he'd be a great slot receiver on any team. He just isn't a great fantasy asset. I think he's a great football player. Clip throwing so much shade. I love it. It's fantastic. Brandon, give me a bold call for this season. And don't make it your Tannehill one. Save that one for later.
Terrace Marshall is the next T. Higgins. Marshall is the next T. Higgins. That is another reason why I was comfortable making that trade. I have Terrace Marshall on my bench to replace T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. And that is the next. He fits everything that I look for in a rookie wide receiver. And I think that Carolina offense is – I think people are kind of throwing, a little bit of shade at it just because of Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold is going to flourish in Carolina, especially with those three wide receivers and with that running back. Terrace Marshall, from PFF, was the number one preseason rookie wide receiver by a long margin, by a lot. And every time that guy stepped on the field, you can tell the defense treated him differently. They could see what was going to happen. They were trying to stop him. They couldn't. Mm-hmm. He is going to be T. Higgins this year. I feel like he's going to also take away some of the workload from DJ, especially in between the 20s. And he's going to take away some of he's going to enhance the Carolina Panthers offense with his red zone presence. I think that's where he's going to bring his money. Like, that's where he's going to earn his money right there is red zone, red zone, red zone.
Here's the thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. The only way, and look, I love Terrace Marshall. I love, mm-hmm. love Terrace Marshall. I think I had him number 3 overall. I had Jamar Chase, I had Rashad Bateman, then I had Terrace Marshall as my number 3.
That's awesome.
Pre-draft. Pre-draft. It shifted a little bit after the draft. I love Rondale. I love Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing, right? For one, we don't trust the quarterback. We don't. Why? What has given you any sort of faith in Sam Darnold that Sam Darnold is going to come out and be able to support Christian McCaffrey, DJ Moore, who I absolutely love? You talk about Jamar Chase came out as this absolute beast. Look who he compares to, DJ Moore. Okay, and DJ Moore is a savvy veteran in the league right now. Robbie Anderson, who they just extended, you're telling me the wide receiver 3 on that team with Sam Darnold is going to put up a fantasy relevant season this year. Yep. Look, it can happen if Robbie Anderson regresses, but look, Robbie is Sam Darnold's boy, man. Like, I love him, but the numbers just don't suggest that he's an opportunity to truly break out this year. If Terrace Marshall legitimately puts up, let's call it 750 yards and gets like 5 touchdowns, I think that'd be a pretty good rookie season. Okay.
Yeah, that should be pretty nice.
Would that be a success in your opinion?
Not for my projection. Not for me. Yeah. I feel like he's got more of the upside in the red zone. I think he's going to at least put up 8 touchdowns this year in the red zone. And he, Terrace Marshall is an alpha. He just was he was injured at LSU and then COVID. Mm-hmm. People forgot this guy, he is built to be an alpha and he has the speed as well to go deep. I feel like he's, I love Robbie Anderson. After watching more and more and more of this offense with Terrace in it, I think he's going to siphon some of those looks off, man. I'm telling you, he's, if you just siphon 10% off of Robbie and 10% off of DJ and give that, mm-hmm. and give that those looks to Terrace on top of his original, on top of the original rookie, what you're going to get as a rookie, usually that he is going to explode. I think he, and what was the biggest complaint about DJ? His red zone. He is not like he just doesn't get done in the red zone. And I think that's Terrace Marshall,
man.
I think that's Terrace Marshall.
These guys just don't like, look, I would love it. If Terrace Marshall could put up like 7-8 touchdowns, that would be an absolute success. Even for like, you know, 600-700 yards, 7-8 touchdowns. I'd love to see it.
Pittman.
I'm hesitant and I would love it. B. Barad 1. We absolutely love it. We love it. We love Michael Pittman this year, but man, I don't know, man.
Another guy you can't talk about is Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. It's just a guy I don't have a lot of faith in, right? And man,
listen to me, B. He's gonna be fine. Pittman's gonna be the number one alpha in that. He's gonna get looks. He's gonna get his targets. He is the alpha, and I think it's gonna be JT Pittman and Zach Pascal as the red zone guys, and Pittman, give me, like, the guy was an alpha at SC.
Here's the thing. Okay? He's being drafted right now as a wide receiver 41, which is essentially, you know, that's a wide receiver 4. I think that Pittman probably is like a legitimate wide receiver 3, plug and play every single week, a guy you can get comfortable with. And this is an edict that Alan Sizlowski likes to use all the time, especially in your deeper leagues where you've got your 3 wide receivers, or even if you're playing that wide receiver in a flex. He loves having his stable wide receivers at his 1 and 2 spot, and he wants to go pure upside at wide receiver 3. I think Michael Pittman, especially with T.Y. Hilton being injured, is the kind of player that you can put him in your lineup. He's probably going to get you between 8 to 12 points no matter what every single week, because he's going to get to targets.
More than that.
However, no, I'm just saying, like, that's his floor, right? And that's kind of where he's being drafted. But here's the thing. Pittman has the upside of 1 to 2 touchdowns in any given week, which is then that 25-point monster, right? And especially in these PPR leagues, that is absolutely how you're going to win your league. I think I'm higher on Paris Campbell than the average person. So I'm afraid that in terms of a pure PPR league, Paris Campbell is going to steal a few of those looks. But in the red zone, it's going to be JT season and it's going to be Michael Pittman season. They don't really have a tight end of consequence. So, I mean, absolutely, I would be confident with them. Pittman's a guy that we both loved in the entire offseason.
I tried to get him in the auction draft and got stolen. He got stolen from me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I like it. It's somebody that I'm going for. Okay, and finally, Brad, just because I am a true Cortland Sutton fan, I love Cortland Sutton. For those of you who don't know, like Roto Underworld team, they're somebody that we're friends with. We love them. I was on their NFL draft show, which was a lot of fun. And at the time, so they asked me to do for their draft kit this year, a write-up on a player. The player that I chose to do my write-up on is Cortland Sutton, because I'm afraid the people are just forgetting about what sort of a monster the Cortland Sutton is. And I just don't buy the fact that, because Teddy Bridgewater is a quarterback, they're just not going to throw the ball to Sutton, because, you know what, Jerry Jeudy is such an elite route runner. He just gets open. That Cortland Sutton, that's like saying, look, I'm going to take my Mazda 3, I'm going to go for a spin, and I'm going to leave my Jaguar or my Corvette or my Camaro sitting in the garage, because I want to be a little bit more conservative with this. I like Jerry Jeudy. I think, like, a guy that I follow in the fantasy football space is JJ Zacharyson. I think he's brilliant, and he is super high on Jerry Jeudy this year. So while I was a little bit reluctant, I was lower on Jerry Jeudy last year than it was in some other players. I had him below. I'll admit, Justin Jefferson, I had him below him, but I also had him below Jalen Reagor. So take that for what it is. But Jerry Jeudy is—he's going to be the quarterback's best friend. But you know who's going to win games for the Denver Broncos? It's going to be Courtland Sutton scoring touchdowns. I love Courtland Sutton. I have him ahead of consensus. I love it. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. If you can go and get Courtland Sutton at his price, he's somebody that I'm drafting in leagues. Absolutely.
Jerry Jeudy is a beast, man. I'm telling you. And my comp for Jerry Jeudy with Teddy Bridgewater is literally DJ Moore. Like, that's who he's going to – that role.
Jerry Jeudy?
The same kind of the short intermediate routes, that's going to be money land for Jerry Jeudy, and that's where he's going to shine. Deep down the field, that's Sutton's home and red zone. So I think Sutton has a good chance to outscore or out – get more touchdowns than Jeudy, but Jeudy probably will have more yards and catches.
Ugh, Clint. Jacob Eason is going to be starting sooner rather than later. I can't get on that bandwagon.
No.
I'm sorry.
Dude, I'm so tired of people hating on Carson Wentz. I'm not even a Carson Wentz believer, really. I just feel like everybody's just throwing dirt on the guy. He was literally in the most unstable line. He was behind the worst line in football. He had terrible freaking coaching.
You got him on tilt clip.
Like, it's just insane to me. He's going to the best line in the league almost. Yeah. And he's got one of the best running backs, young running backs in the league behind him to hand the ball off, to take pressure off. And he's got his coach back that's going to give him good vibes. I don't understand why there's so much hate for Carson Wentz.
As much as we love Michael Pittman, as much as we like Paris Campbell, they haven't really done it yet. Like, they haven't done it yet, right? Nyheim Hines apparently is somebody that they're going to get more involved in the passing game, or just in the game in general. They want more touches for Nyheim Hines. We assume it's going to be in the passing game. I think that's going to probably help Carson Wentz, right? You know, I would be really interested to see if they have like the two running back sets where they've got JT in the backfield and they line up Nyheim Hines out as a pass catcher or even in the slot. Sure. That would be really interesting. I think that'd be really interesting. But
and Reich is really, really creative. So I have full faith in Coach Reich, and I really think he's going to be, I think Carson's going to be fine. I think there's just been a lot of bad taste. That's all. But go ahead.
All right. Next. So I'm going to go with my bold take.
Go and let's look, see it.
You know where this was coming from. We've been talking about it all off season. Y'all are wrong. The haters are wrong. I don't care.
Oh, it's Jalen.
Jalen Hurts. And we're bold. We're talking bold here. Look, we're
We
don't want to just be conservative.
I knew
we want to put our takes on the line. We want to be judged by the people and held accountable at the end of the season. Okay. Jalen Hurts will finish as a top three quarterback.
Oh, what?
In fantasy football in 2021. Brandon, what say you?
I say you're crazy. Seriously smoking some shit. But dude, I get it. Like, you're a guy. You've been
I'm in.
So
I'm in,
I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen anybody in on somebody like you with Jalen. And I totally, I get it, man. Jalen's awesome. He's going to be cool. Yeah. He's going
to
be good.
Truth be told, where I have him ranked, I think I have as my quarterback 7 or 8. I think realistically, that's probably where he's going to finish because of that massive rushing upside. But what if things slowly start to, you know, come together?
What if Devontae Smith is a beast?
What if Jalen Reagor is actually good? We thought he was not good. Look. He was miscast. Oh, I'm already pulling back.
Yeah, he's not a number one at
Jesus.
All.
I'm so sick of this attitude, okay? The reason we're calling this show bold is because you got to be bold.
Oh, what did
but
he
I'm
say?
Also a man who looks at the numbers. And what is the most likely outcome for a player like Jalen Hurts? A player who can put up 40 fantasy points in a week, but it can also put up 18 the next week. There's going to be a lot of variance. But what if he puts it together? What if Devonta Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, goes out and actually does what we think he's going to be able to do? What if Miles Sanders and Brad was asking about Miles Sanders? What if he's actually good? Like, decent. He doesn't have to be elite. He's not going to be Jonathan Taylor good. But what if he's good enough to stay on the field? What if Boston Scott can help relieve some of the pressure? What if the Philadelphia defense is so bad that they're going to have to be putting up points every single week? Like, legitimate, Jalen Hurts could be putting up 50, 60 rushing yards, probably a rushing touchdown. And again, if his passing percentage goes from like his 55% to 65%, which is still going to be below average in the league, but they're going to give him safe passing outlets, I think there's a legitimate path for him to be in fantasy football when a guy like Lamar Jackson can put up the QB1 numbers a couple seasons ago as a sophomore. I think that Jalen Hurts can. He's got the talent to take that next step to get to that level. And, man, be bold. QB3, I got Jalen Hurts, dude, 2021.
You just put it out there, man.
Nuts on the freaking table, man.
Nuts on the table. Doing. They're about to be cut off. You're going to be a neutered man. And I just, you know, it's okay. You know, it's all good. But I totally understand. Jalen Hurts is actually one of my favorite quarterbacks in DFS week one, by the way. Jalen Hurts and Quintez Watkins stack is going to be – I think that's going to be a deep
Quez Watkins, you mean?
Quez Watkins, whatever his fucking name is.
Quez. Quez looks good, man. Is that wide receiver?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
he's good, yeah.
Atlanta is dreadful. So if you want a cheap punt that is going in a barn burner for DFS week one, that's one, boys.
There you go. That's what you call a tournament player. You don't want to be playing Quez Watkins in your 50-50.
Don't play him in cash. I don't play cash. I play only tournaments.
You know what's kind of funny, Brandon? That just says it kind of all. So I only typically will play cash. I'll throw in a few like $3 entries into tournaments, but I'm more of a cash kind of guy because I'm just more conservative that way. You're like, let's go. I want to fucking win $1 million or I don't care. That's it.
If I don't win a couple of G's in a weekend, then I probably crap out. But usually it's, you know, good weekend, bad weekend, good weekend, bad weekend, good weekend, good weekend. You know, like it's just that if you don't mind the peaks and valleys and you know how to manage your money, that I suggest tournaments. And that's I just like the upside. And I nothing pisses me off more when you have a banger lineup and all you got is a 50-50 winnings. Like that's just not fun to me. I'd rather win thousands and lose a few hundred bucks, you know, if it goes bad. That's just me. I'm a guy like
that. Be bold, baby. Be bold. Play your tournaments. Be bold. Give us one more. I'll go one. We'll get the hell out of here. And next time we talk, it'll probably be the NFL season. Be bold, so Brandon.
Do you want me to talk about Tannehill? Is that what you wanted?
Boldest prediction. We already talked about Tannehill, so it's kind of like, yeah, I'm kinda, if you want to go bold, be bold, Brandon. Don't give the people what they want.
Man, who is bold? Okay. I think Rondale Moore will beat Tyreek Hill's rookie numbers.
Is that bold?
Yes, it is.
I don't even know what Tyreek Hill's rookie numbers were. But I don't think he had a very good rookie season, did he?
No, he was fine. Here, I'll shout him to you.
See, this is just anticlimactic. Come on, Brandon.
So right here, in his rookie year, he had 83 targets, 61 catches, 593 yards for 6 touchdowns.
That's reasonable.
He also had 24 rushes, 267 yards, and 3 touchdowns in rushing.
Oh wow!
And then he also was the special teams guy as well.
That's right. But yeah, that's right.
In my world with Rondell, I think he can beat that. And I think he can really push Kyler Murray into the QB1 position. Kyler Murray as a QB1 this year. And I don't think people are saying it. I don't think people are hot enough on Kyler this year. I think with those two additions and with that poor defense, they're going to have a bad defense. They're going to have a bad defense, and they're going to be playing teams in their division that have great offenses. Okay. And you're going to see the Cards offense have to throw a ton. And I think Rondale Moore is going to be a huge key in that. And I think you don't remember
when Tyreek touches. I remember Tyreek, but he didn't jump off the page for me. when he was a rookie. Oh, man, you know what
he
I'm saying?
For like, me, I mean, he looked different to me. But I just feel like he's going to beat Tyreek's numbers and he's going to shut all the naysayers down. My friend Mike Dickinson, I have never seen somebody hate on somebody so much. My boy Mike.
I think he's hating on it because you love Rondell so much.
That's I know. That's because I love him so much.
Yeah.
But I just think Rondell is going to be special. And I think Kyler Murray is going to be able to unlock all that with him. And it's going to help Kyler so much. And that he is my number one flag plant of the year. And Rondell or die.
I love it. We've talked about your boys. We've talked about Rondale. We've talked about Antonio Gibson. Harris. Apparently, Ryan Tannehill is one of your boys, too. So I like it.
Who?
Sorry?
What did you just say?
Ryan Tannehill. I like Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, Ryan Tannehill. Yes, Tannehill.
Yeah, I like Tannehill, yes. Man. He's like got kind of that Mendoza line in terms of like, all right, if I don't have Matt Stafford, if I don't have Ryan Tannehill, I'm a little bit worried.
Quarterback,
but
for sure. But the thing about Tannehill is that he's got the rushing upside.
He does.
Absolutely. He has that rush. And that is what is huge. And I just think Tannehill is a top five quarterback this year with Julio. And people are sleeping on the Titans. Like, it was crazy. Like, when that trade was first made, right, Twitter was on fire. Everybody was talking about the Titans. Everybody was freaking out about it. Mm-hmm. And then draft season came. Nobody's talking about the Titans. Nobody's talking about Tannehill and Julio.
Well, he didn't
and
start. AJ
Brown.
Are we talking about this year?
Yeah, this year. About the Titans
because Julio hasn't practiced.
I understand
he's been practicing on the sideline. I know it's normal, but look, when you've got years and years of chemistry built up with Matt Ryan, like it just gives you a little bit of pause, right? Like I'm not worried. I think that Julio's going to be productive. I think where he's going in drafts is about the cost you have to pay, and I think that's a fair cost. Understanding that Julio's probably going to play 12 games this year.
Yep. And for people that think he's the wide receiver one in that offense, you're insane.
No,
like I've seen that narrative as well. That's just absolutely crazy to think that. But
no, that's crazy. That's whack. Yeah. But I'm gonna give you my last bold prediction. Here, I think it's bold. I'm gonna go with it. He's a player that I've slowly grown high on. I'll admit I was a little bit reluctant, and we talked about this where you get your certain biases, and it's really hard to get off your biases. But a player that I'm really starting to buy in on. He plays in the NFC West, which we've talked about. He's a sophomore, which is when players typically will take their biggest leaps from their first year to the second year. I think that Brandon Ayuk is going to finish as a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy football, currently being drafted as a wide receiver 23.
Wow. I think that's a great, there's a very good chance of that. Like I really do.
And the thing that worries me is like, I think we both love Trey Lance. I think he's going to be amazing. He's had an up and down camp. He was up and down in the preseason games, which is to be expected. I think they're going to start with Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Jimmy G, he knows he needs to get the ball out quick. The fact that Brandon Ayuk had such an amazing rookie season last year was in part because Deebo Samuel was injured. And for those who've listened to the Flex Network for a while, you guys know I love Deebo. Brandon Ayuk is a different kind of animal. And look, he's got the talent. I think he's going to be the first read in these on pass plays ahead of George Kittle. I think that Brandon Ayuk's going to be the very first read because look, he's the kind of player that can go deep, right? George Kittle's a fucking monster. I love George Kittle. Brandon Ayuk is a different kind of beast at wide receiver. I think this is going to be the breakout season. I think that he's going to outperform CeeDee Lamb. I love CeeDee Lamb. I think people are going to be disappointed when Brandon Ayuk puts up higher fantasy points this season than CeeDee Lamb. Not because CeeDee isn't as good. Like I think CeeDee Lamb, pound for pound, a better wide receiver. DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon, is one of my favorite wide receivers just to watch. I've never been a Houston Texans fan. I loved watching DeAndre Hopkins play the game. When CeeDee Lamb, when we were going through the rookie process last year, the player that I comped him to was DeAndre Hopkins, just the way that he plays the game. I love CeeDee Lamb.
Easiest comp ever. Yeah.
I think that Amari Cooper exactly is still a monster. I think they want to get Zeke involved. I just think that Brandon Ayuk, he's going to finish as a top 10 wide receiver this year. It might be bold, but baby, be bold. Brandon.
And if that happens, that means Trey Lance is a top 8 quarterback.
Oh, Trey Lance, man, he's going to be sick when he starts playing.
Like, if that happens, end of the year,
he's not going to finish as a top 10 because I don't think he's going to get enough games in. But in fantasy points per game, when Trey Lance is putting up 25, 26,
absolutely. From the moment he starts starting, he'll be a top 8 quarterback. From that moment.
Lamb was amazing when you were drafting him in the early parts of the draft season. At the end of the third, sometimes early fourth round, he was perfect. He's going at the end of the second round now. I just don't think he's going to pay off that sort of draft capital. I just don't see it. I would love to see it because I have a lot of Dak Prescott in a lot of my fantasy leagues, but I just don't quite see it because Amari Cooper, he's not going to go away. He's not. Michael Gallup, he's not going to go away.
Next year, he'll be gone.
Next year he might be
Dynasty. Dynasty, halfway through the season, go scoop up Michael Gallup, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Brendan. Look, that fantastic. Next time we talk, we're gonna be in the midst of week one.
Woo!
How do the people find you?
At Brandon D Adam 19 on Twitter. Check it out, check me out. I'm always I'm pretty active on there with my fantasy, and just hit me up.
Fantastic. So of course, you guys can follow us at the Flex Network One on Twitter. It's going to be a fantastic season. We're going to be here all year. Let us help you flex on your leagues. So, for Brandon, for Season Long Says, for Flex Matt, I'm Flex Shane, and we are the Flex Network.
This is the Flex Network. This is the Flex Network. Flex on them. Flex on everybody. This right here is the Flex Network.